Okay, before we start, on Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, a couple lines from the bottom. There's just one Rambam that I didn't get to mention on Friday, but it also had to do with yesterday's daf and today's. There's the Rambam and the Ravid about Muksa. Did Menachem mention it yesterday? I don't know if the Rambam and the Ravid about Muksa. But the Gemara mentioned, had one line yesterday, that Muksa is, at least certain types of Muksa are related to Tiltol. Maybe the Gzeira of Tiltol Kalim, as the Klishim Lach Le'Isser and Leheter Halachas, these are related to Tiltol. There's a Rambam that we should be aware of whenever we're learning about Inyanim of various types of Muksa and Tiltol Kalim. The Rambam at the end of the Perek of Dalet of Hilcha Shabbos says three reasons why Chachamim Asered being Metaltel certain objects on Shabbos. Three reasons, and the Ravid adds on a fourth. The Rambam says, Asur Chachamim Metaltel Miksa Zvarim B'Shabbos, Kederach Shu Osa Bachol. The Rabbanan Asered, all of Muksa's the Rabbanan. There's no muks in the Torah, but and it's even ein lo ikker min haTorah. There's not really any source for it in the Torah at all, even a remez. So the Chachamim asked to be metaltel certain things on Shabbos, like you do bachol. Why did they do this? So three reasons, says the Rambam. Number one, umayim is yirin aviyim betzivush lo yehi luchach b'Shabbos ki luchach bachol. If our walking on Shabbos has to be different than walking on weekdays, v'lo sichas haShabbos k'sichas hachol, and our discussion on Shabbos has to be different than weekdays, shenemer v'davar davar, kal v'chomer shlo yehi tildu b'Shabbos k'tilchot bachol. So surely, if our walking and our talking has to be different, so surely what we're involved in, what we're carrying around, should be different. K'dei shlo yehi kiyom chol be'inav, so that it shouldn't be like a weekday in our eyes. V'yavol agviyo l'sakin kelim mipin. Right? Think if we didn't have the laws of Muksa, we just had the Labbat Es Malachas, Shabbos would be a different day. It would be much, much closer to a weekday. So the fact, and Yehilchus Muksa helps us keep it as a different day. And the Rambam continues that it helps us even fulfill the pasuk of Laman Yanuach, that helps us fulfill our Menuchas Shabbos. Number one. Number two, says the Rambam, Va'od, Kishivaka Vitalta Kelim Shemalachan L'Isser, Efter Shisazik Ben Ma'av Yevode Malacha. Klisha Malachal Isser, if you already have in your hands, not for a goof or a makomo purpose, you know, you could come to violate. Now you're going to just be planning to move it to move it away or something, to put it back in its place. But still, once it's in your hand, you might do a malacha with it. The Yod, and finally, third, the Rambam says, Bebedeshim Mixas Ha'am Inam Ba'ali Umnios, because some people aren't professionals. El Batalan Kol Yaman, they just stay home every day, and they don't go to work any day. So if they're hanging out every day, so what would be the difference between a weekday and Shabbos? You know, they're both, they never drive, they never go to work. Could go Tayalim, Yoshvik Pranos, you call your man, him shows me malacha. Vimi Mutu Lahalik Ludaber, Ulotal Kishar Yamim, Nimsash Lo Shabbat Shvisa Hanikeres. If they wouldn't be able to, if you would allow them to do muksa, so then there wouldn't be any hecker, any recognizable difference of Shabbos and weekdays. So that is a third reason why there's halachas of muksa. The Ravid then adds on, the Rambam forgot one. The Rambam forgot our daf yesterday. The Rambam of the Ravid says, Od Amru Atu Tiltu Lav Tzarech Otsahu. Right, Tiltul with the line from yesterday's daf. That Tiltul also about an Asr parsha, because if you have something in your hand, we're worried, Xerim Mishim Hotzah. You might come to carry it out. That's the fourth reason, the Ravid adds, for the halachas of muksa. Again, not all of these reasons apply to all the types of muksa. Some of them apply to what we called on Friday, Gzeira of Tiltul Kalim, which is that what they did at the time of Nehemiah, which is a different, not regular muksa. It's Klisha Lach Tal Isser, Klisha Lach Tal Heter, that whole world. That might be not even be called muksa. Some of these reasons apply to that. But again, once you know these three reasons of the Rambam and the reason of the Ravid, as we're osake in these sugyas. Okay, an important Rambam Ravid for a couple of dafim. So now let us get back to where Menachem left off yesterday. Five lines from the bottom. Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Beis. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Megufas Chavetz Shenichteta Mutu L'Taltal B'Shabbos. If you have a barrel and the barrel got smashed, but the cover of the barrel, the lid of the barrel, is still intact. So says the Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, you're allowed to be metaltel the lid. Why? Because you could use it for another pot. You could use it for another barrel. It still has uses on Shabbos, and therefore you're allowed to move it. Tanya Nami Achi Magufa Shenechsasa Hi V'Shvareh Amut L'Taltel B'Shabbos. Another Tosefta, that if you have this lid, let's say not only says the Gemara that the lid can be moved, but even Shvareha, if the barrel's pieces are still usable, so you're allowed to use those also. V'lo yisplas b'mena sheva l'chazes b'zakli. But you shouldn't repair, Rashi says, you shouldn't smooth out the edges of a shard of the barrel, because that would be a CS kli. Rashi says that would be makim apatish, and therefore that would be a problem. But just to use it as is, if it's usable, if it's not too sharp, so then that would be mutter. It's not muksa, because again, it has usage. V'lispas b'bakari amita, or to use it to hold up a bed. V'mzarka ba'ashpa aser. But let's say you threw this lid, the barrel broke and you threw the lid into the garbage dump. So then it becomes muksa. Then it goes, it has usage, but once you throw it into the garbage dump, you've been megali your das, that you think of it, you treat it as garbage, and therefore it is muksa, you're not allowed to use it. So maskal or Rav Papa said, 1 second, the second that you throw something in, even if it's usable, you know, it's going to be muksa. Elamayata zark leila glima, how can I das? What if I threw my shirt in the garbage? My shirt, I've worn it for enough, you know, I've decided I'm not going to wear this shirt anymore. So you throw it in the garbage, then all of a sudden it makes it muksa. It's great. I mean, a shirt is a shirt. You can't be make a shirt not unless you tear it up. But if you throw it into the garbage, what do you mean? Just because you throw this lid into the ashpa, it makes it muksa. Why should that be? Yes, the Gemara. What about a shirt? Say Elamar of Papim Zarkami Bod Yom Ashmasur. Right, you're right. If something is usable on Shabbos afternoon, you can't just throw it into the garbage dump and make it muksa. But if you threw it in from before Shabbos, so then you've megala your das that it's you've taken away its designation as a kli, and therefore it would be muksa when Shabbos starts, and then the principle would kick in of migu diskatsoy ben hashmashes katsoy lekuli yoma. It would be muksa for the entire Shabbos. And what about a shirt? What if you threw the shirt into the garbage in Erev Shabbos? What's the parallel the Gemara is trying to say? So you're right, not on Shabbos, I want Erev Shabbos. So what's the conclusion about a shirt? What does that sound like from the Gemara? Sounds like from the Gemara that if you would throw a shirt in on Erev Shabbos, then what? It would also be muksa. That's what it sounds like. So the Ritva says, come on. The Ritva says, how can the Gemara say, it's a shirt! What's the Hava meaning to compare a shirt and something that's connected to a broken kli? And that's the Ritva. He says, Maka madami leil glima shu davar chashuv v'amavat lo bat lo daito eza kol adam. How could you compare the shirt and something else that's connected to a broken kli? The ode, and it sounds like from the Gemara that if you throw the shirt in Erev Shabbos, that's can't be. So the Ritva really says don't take the connection parallel so seriously. And it doesn't really mean an exact parallel. All the Gemara is trying to tell you is as follows. It just means the emphasis of the Gemara, which is it says the opposite. Anything that's huchan at Bein Hashmashos, you can't make unhuchan on Shabbos if it still is in its hachana state. If something breaks on Shabbos, it could become muksa. Things could become muksa on Shabbos. That's no one. Right? Things could become muksa on Shabbos. But if something isn't muksa and its ikar kli is not muksa, then you can't make it ice muksa on Shabbos. Just like by a shirt, you can never take out of its existence of being in a state of achana. So the Ritva basically tells us, don't take the connection so seriously. If you have a shirt, if you have something very usable, even if you throw it in the garbage, if you decide you want to take it out of the garbage, if it's still usable, that's it, it's not muksa. Only if it's something that it's semi-unusable before Shabbos, then throwing that into the garbage before Shabbos makes it muksa. Amar Bar Hamduri on top. Amar Shmuel. Chromio shomach tzalos mutu l'taltzalon b'Shabbos. Somebody has a chromio shomach tzalos. What does it mean? Rashi explains a machzalos is a reed mat. So somebody has some of the reeds, the shreds of the reeds came out. So says Shmuel, you're allowed to be metaltzalon b'Shabbos because they still have a use. My time up. Amar Rava Bar Hamdura Azbroli machzalos gubel my chazi l'chsuyi be'afra. Bar Hamduri explained to me what its use is. The reed mat itself, what is it used for? L'chasuyi ba'afra, to cover some dirt, right? What do you put a mat, you put a mat in front of your house, the people to walk on, people to cover dirt outside. So, haninami chazi l'chasuyi behuti nofes. So too, these extra reeds that fell out of this, that came out of this rug, this mat, is also usable to cover up some dirt, and therefore it's not muksa. Amar b'zeir marav, sixth line, shiare prismios aslatadal b'shabas. A similar case, but what is shiari prismios? These are the strands that came out of a talus, of a garment. Prismios or talus, asal tatal b'shabas. That's asal tatal. Right? Even though the previous line just said that if you have the chromio shamach tzolos, it's mutal tatal. Right? So what's the difference between the two? Right? You don't use these. You can't use these to cover up the edges, the frayed edges of the talus and the reed mats you do. Sounds like for some reason you don't use these to cover up the dirt. Let's just finish for a minute. Sorry. Oh, we'll get to that in a second. Amar Abaya, but Abaya limits this iser. But Matzloni El Shein ain't behind Gimel Gimel. Lochazi Lalanim Lalashir. The piece that we're talking about, the type of beged that loses its status, and therefore it's also tafel, is only by a very tiny beged that's less than Gimel Gimel, less than 3x3. It's bow, so therefore even an ani wouldn't use this this little type of material. But anything bigger would have a usage. But again, this little type of material, the Gemara seems to contrast it to the krom yoshem machzalos. The question is, you know, why is that? Why can't this also be used to cover up dirt? Use a little garment to cover up a piece of dirt, just like the edges that were frayed earlier. So the Ritva quotes the Ravid. And the Ritva here on today's Amud is always important, but today goes to Ravid. Yesh machshim, the chazil chizuziva tinufiyah. You can use it to cover up tinufes. So says the Ravid, quoted in the Ritva. The Ritva quotes a couple answers, but the Ravid says what Yoni said. The Ravid zal pirish tahacha b'shiari talas shel mitzvah. We're not just talking about stam garments here. We're talking about talas. A talas shel mitzvah. Kedamrin an asam. And it quotes another Gemara. So a talas of a mitzvah. So you have the frayed edges of your talas. So you can use that to cover up dirt, to cover up garbage. The kivan techein lo machafri b'hutinufya. People don't use that to cover up dirt. Diapal gav the shiari mitzvah nizrakin. Even though we know that meikur hadin, what are you allowed to do to your talus after it's you're not using it anymore? After it's pasul, it's not shamus. Talus is what we call. We've mentioned a number of times. There's a difference between tashmishi kedusha and tashmishi mitzvah. Tashmishi kedusha, the Gemara in Megillah tells us, something that inherently, something that's connected to the ksav of Torah. That's Tashmishi Kedusha. Tefillin, mezuzahs, Sefer Torah, a tefillin box, a mezuzah case. All of those are called Tashmishi Kedusha, inherently have Kedusha, and those have to be buried, those have to be put into Shemus. Something that's connected to the Ksav of Torah. But Tashmishi Mitzvah, something that, an object that you just use for a mitzvah, a lulav, a talis, a shofar, any of those have Kedusha when they are being used. But Mi'ikar Hadin, after they are finished being used, you know, all of the possible titzels we have from the kids, Mi'ikar Hadin, you can throw them out, Nizrakin. Okay, so you try to do it in a covetic way, but says the Ritva here, I'm Iker Adin, it's allowed to be thrown out. Why don't people use it to cover dirt? The answer is people aren't going to do it. Not that Iker Adin, they have to, but people don't. People look at a talus, they say, oh, you can use this to wipe up a spill? You know, you can use a shmat, they're not going to use a talus. So says the Ravid in the Ritva, because people wouldn't do it, lav urcha demilso l'chsuye ba tinofa. Okay, so that's how the Ritva interprets that these are dafka a talus shel mitzvah. And again, this is, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, this is in Hilchos Tzitzis. Hilchos Tzitzis, the beginning of Siman Chaf Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch says, Chutei Tzitzis shenifsaku yochol zarkan la'ashma. Make sure that you can throw them in the garbage. Bebnei shei mitzvah she'in begufa k'dusha. Aval kazvan she'im kavun betalus also l'shamesh behen. Once they're used, bishum bizui mitzvah. So that's what passed by Iker Adin. Yesh Omrim Daaf L'Rama adds Daaf L'Acher Shenipsuko Ein Lino Behem Binim Gizayin L'Zarkam Akam Magune. The Rama says it's okay. It's maybe it's a Musar Haskel not to just throw them out with the chicken bones in the garbage. What should you do? Ela Shein Atzricha Geniza. That you don't have to be putting them to Shemus, but they don't need Geniza. Again, so the what many poskim say to do is to wrap it in its own bag and then put it into the garbage. But to treat it in a Derech Kavod. But you know, to put something that doesn't need Shemus into Shemus is not covered for what's supposed to be in Shemus. So you can't just say, oh, you might as well put them into Shemus. But so again, there's a balance. You know, sometimes you bury, you know, when you bury something from, you wrap them in the tzitzis to use them. But either way, me'ikar adin, they're tashmishi mitzvah. The Rama adds some are put them in Shemus, but some use them. The Rama real quotes as bookmarks, as far marks. Use your old tzitzis, use them for a different mitzvah. Again, that is the halacha about the chutei tzitzis. Would the beged be muksa on Shabbos? If you have what? A pasul beged of? So again, no, me'ikar hadin, oh, because you wouldn't use it. So, I mean, the Ritva, it says here, only the tiny pieces, the shiari prismios. Maybe a bigger beged you could use to as a blanket, you could use for something else, a non-bizayon purpose, and therefore it would be mutter. Okay, Tanur Rabbanan, two dots. Shivri Tanur Yashan, Harika Cholokhen, Amani Talan Bachatzer, Divir Rebbe Meir, the broken pieces of an old oven. You could be metaltel. Let's say an oven broke, and the pieces of the oven can be moved in a chatzer on Shabbos, says the Tosefta. Dibur Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, any tell, and they can't be moved. So what's the machlokas about? We're going to see. But Shivri Tana Yashan. Hey, Rabbi Yossi, B'shem Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Shivri Tana Yashan, Shani Tolan B'Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov agrees with the Tana Kama that it can't be moved. V'yaki Suyo, She'in Azorach Be'isyad, and also holds that a cover of an oven doesn't need a handle. Even if it doesn't have a handle, it still could be used. They used to have handleless covers. So, what's this machlokas about between a Rimeir and a Behuda about moving pieces of a broken tanner? So, we have two opinions. Amar Abaya, number one, Abaya suggests maybe it's the same machlokas we had yesterday. But osin me'ein malacha, ve'ein osin me'ein malachtot kemifliki. Maybe the machlokas is, as we had a machlokas yesterday between Rimeir and a Behuda, when something breaks on Shabbos and now the pieces that are left can serve a function, but they serve a different function than they were normally usually associated with. So is that called still the same function, therefore it's muksa or not. So if you remember yesterday's mission that Menachem did with you, there was a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanakhama had said, Kuf Chav Dalam Abeis, that it has to do its same, it could do any function. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it has to do Me'in Malachtan. So suggest Abaya, same machlokas here. Same machlokas here. Vazar Behuda Latimir, Me'il Latimir. Rabbi Yehuda says here that it's muksa because it does a different function. Rabbi Meir says it's not muksa because he's the Tanakhama there, therefore it, as long as it does any function, it's not going to be muksa. Yeah. So some of Farshim, some of the Rishonim say that these two opinions, Shmuel and Rav up there, seem to be going within the opinion of Me'in Malachta, that you need within the same Malacha. You're right. But according to the other opinion, you wouldn't even need that. Any type of usage. In a chinami. Okay. One of the Rishonim says that. I don't remember which one. So that's Abaya. Abaya says the first suggestion, the Machlokas is about the same Machlokas we had yesterday. So Maslava Rava. Rava says, one second. Look at the Tosefta. The Tosefta is it's a Machlokas about a very specific case. The broken pieces of an old Tanur. If it's the same machlokas as, you know, a different purpose than originally, so you have to have a machlokas about a specific type of case. It's a regular general machlokas about shivri kalim. What do you mean shivri tanur yashan? It sounds like that it's a machlokas about a specific type of oven. So Elo Amar Rava, Rava says no. There's a different shot of what the machlokas is about. Beshivri to high tanur kamifliki. It's a machlokas about the following case of an oven. The olden days didn't have ovens like we have, obviously. What they do? They used to put them on the ground. It was like a hollowed structure, and they put a fire on the bottom of it, and then the heat went in. We have a discussion in the third parak of Shabbos. The different types of oven. Kira kupach tanur. Some are wider on top, some have room for two pots, one pot. So the tanur was a very hot one. So let's say they had it was a hollow thing that went up, you put a pot on top. Let's say, sometimes I guess they didn't want to have fire on the ground itself, so let's say they would go over a hole. They would have a hole in the ground, they put the fire in the bottom of the hole, they'd put the oven on top of this hole. But sometimes, the Gemara is going to describe, the oven wasn't big enough, the oven was a little smaller than the hole. So if you put the oven on top of the hole, it would just fall in. So what they do is they used to put a rock on the side of the oven, so that it would stay on the outside of the oven. So picture a hole with an oven which is a little skinnier than the hole, and the oven is put onto the top of the hole, and then you're going to put a rock in to hold the oven in place. Remember, you don't need a floor, because how they used to bake in the olden days, they used to slap the dough against the wall, and then it would bake that's how they used to do it. Roda esapas. So that's what they didn't need a floor all the way down. So that's the case we're talking about here. Let's say you have this oven on top of a hole or a pit, then you put a stone there wedged in order to hold the oven up. So machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. What's the machlokas? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im masik milamatavu nisak milamala tameh vim laftar. Rabbi Yehuda says, you know what? If this oven works like a normal oven, meaning you put the fire all the way at the bottom of the pit, of the hole, and then it works, and it heats the oven all the way on top of the hole, then it's tameh, meaning this oven is a good oven, it's makabal tuma, normal, and it works. Vimlav, but let's say it's like so high up in the air that a fire all the way at the bottom of the pot, of the pits, is not going to work to heat the oven. So then Rabbi Yehuda says, we'll see why based on a pasuk, then it's too separated, T-O-O, it's too separated from the ground, and therefore it doesn't have the status of a tanur, and it's going to be tar, it's not going to be called an oven, and it's not going to be mekamel tumah, it's not going to be called a kli. The chachamim omrim, hol v'husach mikol makom tameh. The chachamim say, no, what do you mean? If it's husach, so what, let's say you have to raise the fire, let's say you have to make a makeshift fire, you know, a little bit of raised above the floor of the oven, because it's not going to reach the oven all the way. So what say the chachamim? If it works, in any case it works. So that's why it's going to be tameh. So even before we explain this machlokas, how does this, what the base is, this is already answer, this is how Rava answers the question originally. There was a machlokas about shivri tan or yashan. So Rava is going to suggest, what's that machlokas about? Because there's a machlokas, whether this oven itself is tamei or not. So whether it's called a kli or not. Tamei meaning whether it's makabal tamei, whether it's called a kli. So that machlokas about the shivri tan or is really the same machlokas, suggests Rava, about this oven itself in the first place. If this oven is called a kli or not. What's going to be the problem with this, by the way, after we explain it? A, we're comparing Tumah to Shabbos. You might not have been able to compare Tumah to Shabbos. But what's another potential machlokas? What's another potential problem with this answer? The Gemara says there's a machlokas in the Tosefta about Shivrei Tanur Yashan. And we bring a machlokas about whether this Tanur is Tahar or Tami in the first place. Why is the machlokas about? About the Shvarim. Just say the machlokas about the Tanur in the first place. The Tanur itself is not usable. So that's going to be one of the questions. Rabbi, there was a question. Okay, Rabbi, there was a question on the other sheet, similar. He said, why argue about a specific case? Why not about a general case? So it's similar, but that's going to be what the Gemara is going to ask. But anyway, let's explain this machlokas. We have machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether when you have this raised oven and it heats not all the way from the bottom, Rabbi Yehuda says, if it heats all the way from the bottom, it works fine. But if it's too raised, so then it's not going to be called a tanur. And the Chachamim say, don't worry about it. But Mike, what's this machlokas about? Pahaikra. The following pasuk. Tanur b'kirayim yutatz tmeim heimum tmeim yulachem. The pasuk says in Sefer VaYikra, Tanur b'kirayim yutatz. It's talking about a tanur, an earthenware tanur. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about a cheres tanur that becomes tamei. How you matar a cheres? You can't. Right? You can't be matar a cheres. You have to break it. So Gemara here says, Tanur b'kirayim, an oven that became tamei, yutatz must be destroyed. Tamei must be broken. Tameim heim, they are tamei. Utameim you lachem, and they will be tamei for you. So obviously there's a double lashon here. They are tamei, they will be tamei for you. So how do you understand this, interpret this pasuk? Rabbi Yehuda savar, mechuser netitza, tamei shem mechuser netitza tar. Rabbi Yehuda says, mechuser netitza. What does the pasuk say? A tanner that becomes tamei, you must destroy. But let's say Rabbi Yehuda says to himself, let's say an oven already has the status of destroyed. Meaning it's not a real oven. I would halachically look at it as if it's notuts kfar. So to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not an oven yet. That's not an oven. So Rabbi Yehuda interprets the pasuk mechuser netisa, if it's lacking destruction, meaning it's standing. It itself is a good oven, tamei. So Rabbi Yehuda says, that's why I think that, you look at Rashi here, he explains, Rabbi Yehuda says, if it's all the way up, and the oven works from the fire from the bottom, then that's called a put together oven, and therefore that's going to be tamei. But if it's all the way up, if it's so separated from the grounds, so then, and it's not going to work unless you raise the oven, so it's like notuts kfar. And therefore, it's not included in the oven that's talked about in the pasuk. So that's how Rabbi Yehuda interprets the pasuk. Mechuser netitza. So if it's lacking netitza, meaning it's standing up and it's a bona fide oven tamei, she'ein mechuser netitza tahor. But if it's not lacking netitza, meaning it's already halachically considered not to, it's destroyed tahor, then it's going to be tahor. That's Rabbi Yehuda's source. For Rabbanan Savri, no. Rabbanan say, look at the end of the pasuk. Tameim yulachem mikol makom. The Rabbanan say, no. There's an extra phrase in the pasuk. It shall be tamei. Even this oven, which is like a secondary type of oven, it doesn't work when you have a fire all the way at the bottom of the pit, it's still going to be called an oven. Tameim yulachem, that's what's included by the extra phrase. So the Gemara just says, what does each opinion do with the other one's part of the pasuk? For Rabbanan Nami Haksib Yutatz. The Rabbanan also said Yutatz doesn't have to be Mechuser Netitza. The Rabbanan say, no, that's to teach me something else. Ahula Idach Gisa, to teach me a Svara just in the opposite way. The Saka Dada Chamida Kivin the Chibre Ba'ara Kagufa Da'ara Dami Kamash Malan. The Rabbanan say, no, you might have thought, tremendous Chiddush, you might have thought all ovens are attached to the grounds. Right? If all ovens are attached to the grounds, you might have thought that no oven could become Tamei. Because it's mechubal karka, karka harika karka. Kamash malan, that's the end of the pasuk. That's meim yulachem, not to include, right, what the other opinion says, but it's to include that even this oven in the first place can become tamei. So v'idach nami, you might have thought, no, nothing can become tamei. V'idach nami, hakset tmeim yulachem, what is it be who to do with the other pasuk of tmeim yulachem, if he has the limit on the types of ovens, so what does he use that to include? Ha'ikad of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, that's to include the following. The Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, machlokas behesek rishon. The whole machlokas here between your Yehuda and the Chachamim, which we'll summarize in a second, the whole machlokas here is about if you heat the oven the first time it's used in this unusual way, where it's on top of the pit, and you have to raise the fire doesn't work from all the way down. That's not, by the first time, because the first time hardens the cheres, it heats it, and it makes it into the oven. That's the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Avo behesek sheni, afilo toli b'savar gamol. But by the second time you use it, then even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's tamei, even if it's raised very much. That's what it's included in the pasuk, tmeim yulachem, even if it's literally on the neck of a camel. I mean, if it's very raised very high, so then it's still going to be tamei according to Rabbi Yehuda. Amar ula, one more line, behesek rishon, the Rabbanan afilo toli b'savar gamol. But the Rabbanan, who say it's tamei even the first time if you do it in this unusual way, will say, even if it's very raised the first time, it's still going to be tamei. Either way, well, what are we talking about here? We have a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. If you heat an oven, which is above, in the olden days, this was a normal type of oven. It's above a pit, but it's a little bit raised so that the fire in the bottom of the pit wouldn't be able to heat the oven normally. You'd have to, let's say, raise the fire. So is that called regular usage of the oven to give it the status of an oven? That's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. The second time you use it, do whatever you want. But the first time you heat it, Rabbi Yehuda says, if you heat it this way, it halachically is not called an oven, and therefore it cannot become tamei. And therefore, if a piece of it breaks off on Shabbos, Right? So then it was never a kli. It's muksa. Mashenkin the chachamim say no, this is an oven, and therefore if a piece breaks off, it is still, does still have the status of a kli, and therefore you can move it on Shabbos. So we're comparing tumah to Shabbos. So the Gemara asks one of the two questions we mentioned before. Maskal Ravashi Hachi at the Miflagi Bishivetana, Lifagi Batana Gufa. So what we're saying, the machlokas we have in the Tosefta is about the broken pieces of a barrel. But this is about the tanner itself is a machlokas. So hashta tanner gufa or b'yudu lavi mana, sharmi boy. So if we know the oven itself is not a kli according to Rabbi Yehuda, so surely its broken pieces are not going to be called a kli. So how could that be the pshat of the machlokas? So as Seth said before, it's similar kasha that Rava asked on Abaya, the Gemara now asks on Rava. So Gemara says, okay, go back to what we said before. Ela amar avashi la'olam kedamar meikara. Go back to suggestion number one, right? We have two suggestions. We had Abaya, the fourth to last skinny line, and we had Rava, the second wide line. So Rav Ashi now says, go back to what Abaya said, that the machlokes about the broken pieces of an old tanner is about whether it can be used for for the same malacha. Does it need to be used for the same malacha it had been used for before it broke? Or any malacha? We said, so isn't that... you don't have to sound like a specific machlokas in our case. Why don't you just machlokas in general about Shivei Kalim? And the Gemara said, no, uba ma'ose maisa tapcha. No, it's in a case where maisa tapcha means where you're going to be able to do the original function, but in a very secondary or makeshift manner. You're not going to be able to do it in the normal way. So let's say you have this shard of an old oven. So how did they used to bake in the olden days? Let's say on the oven. So they had this oven. They slapped on the dough on the side of the oven. And then you put a fire in the middle. So you bake, and the fire is on the same side of the walls as the food is, right? They're both inside. So that's how normal baking is done. But now you have this shard. You know how you're going to cook with this shard, bake with this shard? It says the Gemara, Maisa Tafla, means you're going to put the dough on top, and the fire is going to be on the bottom. So it's a little different than the original purpose, function, but it still is baking. So is that good enough to be considered same as the original function? Rabbi Meir, Ladvar Rabbi Yehuda Ka'amar. And Rabbi Meir really is, in the case of the Tosefta, is really answering to Rabbi Yehuda, but really he himself holds something different. Lididi, Rabbi Meir was saying, according to me, afilu ba'osin mei malacha, you don't need the same function. According to me, any function would be good. Like I said in the Mishnah on the Amud earlier. But Ella Lididach, but says Rabbi Meir to Rabbi Yehuda, at least according to you, Odili Mia de Kai Gavna Malachta, who at least admits here that isn't this considered the same halacha that it had been doing. Rabbi Yehuda lo dami, Rabbi Yehuda say no. I would say no, it's not the same function. Hasim hasegam mi bifnim, hacha hasegam mi bachutz. No, there's a different way that it's heated. Over there, by normal ovens beforehand, you cook from the inside, meaning the fire is on the same side of the walls as the dough. Hacha hasegam mi bachutz, but here it's on the opposite side. And hasim umad akalam umad. There, by a regular oven, you slap it on while the oven is standing, and it's standing up on the wall. Here, the shard is on the floor, and you're putting it on top of the shard. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda would say it's not considered the same halacha, and therefore it would be muksa. Okay?
But the result is the same.
The result is the same, correct. But Rabbi Yehuda would say that function is not determined by result. Function is also determined by maisa. That maybe only is the machlokas here. What's the machlokas here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir? What's the lumdus? So the lumdus might be, you know, do you look at results? Do you look at Maisa? That's a good way to put it. Okay, let's finish up to the Mishnah. Hey, Rabbi Yossi, B'shem Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Al Shivei Tanur Yashar Shenitalon B'Shabbos, V'al Kisui Yishen Tzorach Beis Yad. That's what we the end of the Tosefta from earlier. That it doesn't need a handle. The cover of the oven doesn't need a handle. It's still considered usable. Amar Avina Kaman Metal Talina Ha'ina Kisui De Tanurei De Masa Machzia De Elam Beis Achiza. So we are metaltel the covers of the pots of Masa Machzia, which don't have handles. Kaman Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Let's go on like the Shita of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Fine. Okay. Again, this whole Gemara might seem foreign to us, because when something breaks in our house on Shabbos, we basically throw it out, right? We get rid of it. We go, it's dangerous. It's it's a dover hezek. So we just sweep it up, put it in the garbage. But you know, if a place where you're not so affluent, and you have a barrel, and you want to use a piece of something that breaks, you know, it's not so crazy to think about, is it muksa or not? You have to know what could it still be used for. Is it still muksa? It's very halacha l'maisa. Besides the lumdus that we just referred to, yeah. Well, the case here that we just said, that they wanted to argue about this case, because this is a unique case in that it could do the same results that it originally did, but it does it in a different way. That's why this case is unique. It's not stam a broken piece of a kli. Here it could bake, you could bake it with, which it usually was used for, but it bakes in a different way. So the machlokas is that still called baking or not? Okay, Mishnah. Ha'evin shebekiruya. Now we get into the discussion. First, there's going to be a different sugyas of this. Discussion of buses, which we discussed a little bit earlier. Ha'evin shebekiruya. Let's say you have an even in a, kiruya is like a melon or a gourd. Say you have a well, and you don't have a pail. So what you do is you hollow out a melon, and you harden the shell. So you have a hardened peel. And what you do is, let's say you tie it to a string, and you lower it down to the water. It's going to float. There's nothing weighing it down. So what you do is you put a stone into the melon or the gourd, and then that weighs it down a little. So when it goes into the water, it could go down a little bit into the water, sink into the water. So ha'evin shebekruya. So you put a stone in. So in memalinbav, in anofelas memalinbav. So if you could fill up water and the stone won't fall out, meaning you secured it in somehow, so then fine, you can use this on Shabbos. Why? Because this stone is considered part of this kli. It's stabilized in there, and therefore it's not no issue of muksa. This is part of the kli. The imla, but if you would put it in and it's it's not stabilized and it's going to come out, so then ein mamalin ba, then you're not allowed to use this contraption on Shabbos, as Rashi says, the last four words on the Amud, the Shavi basis la'evin shenosata. This gourd is a basis. It's a basis, as we mentioned, basis davar ha'asur, something that is, it itself is not muksa, but it's supporting its var muksa. So this gourd is supporting the stone. If the stone is part and parcel of it, then it's all one kli. It's the kli that you use to fill up from the well. But if it comes out and it's loose, so then it doesn't lose its own status as a stone, and therefore the gourd is called a basis davar ha'asur. Continues the Mishnah. Zemora shikshur betafiyach. If you have a vine, a zemora, that's tied onto a pail, mamalan baba Shabbos. So then, you are allowed to use that on Shabbos. Again, that vine is not called muksa. We're going to get to Be'ez Hashem later today. What, is the vine still connected to the grounds? What's going on here? What's the issue here? So Be'ez Hashem get to that. Halacha number three of the Mishnah, pekakachalon. Again, in the olden days, they didn't have windows like we have sliding windows. What they do, they had holes in the wall. And therefore, they used to put up, say, like we have to have pieces of sheetrock, pieces of wood to close up the hole. You open the window, you take off the piece of wood. Close up the window, you put up the piece of wood. So pekakach alone, let's say you're going to put this, you have this pekak, like a stopper of the window. So are you allowed to put it in on Shabbos? Is that called boneh? Are you closing up a hole? So the Mishnah says, Rabbi Elazar Omer, bismachu kashur v'talui pokun gerbo. If this piece of wood is kashur, is tied to the house, it's connected and it's hanging, it's not just lying on the floor, then poke it, then you're allowed to close it up on Shabbos. Poking it, but why? Because then that is defined as part of the house. You could see it's hanging, it's connected to the house, but you could close it up. That's not a new thing. That's connected. But if it's not tied and hanging, it's just lying on the ground, so then ain't poking it, but then you're not allowed to use that, because that would be considered an isser. We'll get to it at the beginning of tomorrow's year. Daraisa, Drabanan, what are you doing here in terms of building ohel, arai, that we'll get to, but that's Rav Lozer's sheet. It depends if it's hanging and tied or not. The Chachamim Amrim, no, Benkach Benkach Pokin, but the Chachamim say no, either way, even if it's lying on the ground, you're still allowed to use it to close up the window. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, that machlokas we'll get to tomorrow. Right, how is it related? We'll get to that. Maybe we'll get to that. If not, it's another halacha mida Rabanan. Okay. Tanan Hasa. So it continues the Gemara. Tanan Hasa. The Mishnah says later on in Shabbos, Ha'evin shall be a chavis bat lasitim hino feles, a stone that is on a barrel, and you want to get to the wine inside. So what do? You can't take off the stone. The stone is muksa. So you lean the barrel, and the stone memela falls off. Then you can get to the wine inside. Rashi here explains it's not just that you're leaning. Okay, we're not going to get to why Rashi says this, but note Rashi does say it. Really, you lift up. Let's say there are 10 barrels, and the barrel that you want to use is in the middle of the barrels. There, so you have to lift up the barrel first and then lean it over. Rashi doesn't say you're just leaning over the barrel. I heard him discuss why Rashi says it's that case. First magbia and then leaning over the barrel. But either way, that's what the Mishnah says. If you have the stone on the barrel, you lean over the barrel, so again, you're not moving the stone directly. It's kind of like the old, shaver left on the bed Friday night and you want to go to sleep, so you take your blankets and the shaver flies off by itself as you get into your bed. This is Muxum Achmas Gufo. So is a shaver? So is a shaver klisha batalis or muslim achmas gufa or chesra and kiss? I'm not going to use your shaver for anything else, but this is muslim achmas gufa we're talking about. Yes, I'm sorry. You could use it as a paperweight, but if you don't designate something as a paperweight before Shabbos, you can't just go outside to your backyard and take a stone and say I'm going to use it as a paperweight.
You use
You can use asr mitzvah. You could use klisha malachto leisers with sarach gufo. You can't use musa machmas gufo with sarach gufo. A stapler, because a stapler you might use as a paperweight. A shaver, if you have a fancy shaver, you might not use it for any other purpose. It might be in the category of chesed kiss. You know, so it might be a different type of muksa. Is this tilta menatzad? So we mentioned on Friday that there are different levels of tilta menatzad, meaning moving with your elbow. Is that tilta menatzad? That's one level of tilta menatzad. Taking the blanket and the thing falling off, that's somewhat less. That's less direct than the other case. So here, this is somehow tilta menatzad. Yeah, or, you know, what about, we're going to have in a minute, let's say lifting up a cover and stuff falling off the cover. So different levels of tiltum atzad. Sometimes there's asr, sometimes there's mutter. So the Gemara, there are different Gemaras tell us different things about tiltum atzad. Okay, so this is the case. You have the stone on top of the barrel. So you lean over the barrel and it falls off. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Ami, Amar Rav Yochanan, Lo Shanu Ela B'Shocheyach. The first opinion says, when are you allowed to do this? That's only if you forgot the stone there. If you got the stone, you didn't mean to leave it there. You forgot it on top of the barrel. So that's when you're allowed to do this. Avo B'Meiniach. But if you had put it there specifically to be there, and you want the muksa there, then you've created a basis, and basis is also muksa. So you can't move the barrel. You can't lean over the barrel. That is the shita of Rav Rabba or Rav Ami Amar Rav Yochanan. Right? Only shocheyach, but beiniach is a basis. And Rav Yosef Amar Razi Rav Yochanan, the second shita says just the opposite. Lo shon ela b'shocheyach. The only time when you have to do it this way is if you forgot it there. Avo b'meiniach nasakisi l'chavis. If you put it there, obviously you want to use this as a cover to the barrel. And therefore you've given it a status of a cover of a cleat. So that is the machlokas between Rav Ami Amar Rav Yochanan and Rav Asi Amar Rav Yochanan. Whether Meiniach makes it totally usser, buses lover usser, or Meiniach makes it into a kli, makes it into a cover of a barrel. The Chassam Sofer here notes, has an important ha'ara on the first shita. What does the first shita say? Meiniach is called a buses lover usser. If you remember way back when on Daf Mem Tes, we had a Rashi in the Hatmana Sugyas. What, remember Rashi, the Mishnah there said, let's say you have a pot that's surrounded by wool. And what does the Gemara there say? As long as the pot cover is sticking out, you could take the pot cover off. The wool, which is surrounding the pot, will fall off, and then you could take out your stuff from inside the pot. Asks Rashi there, why isn't the pot cover a buses to the wool on top of it? You shouldn't be able to move the pot cover. And what Rashi said? What Rashi say? Because you put it there. Yes, so. Yes, so what? You always want it to be there. But so what? You want it to be there. He also wanted it to be there. You want the stone to be there. What did Rashi say? Rashi said that it's not called a busis. You don't look at top and bottom, but look at what's being meshamesh what. What's a busis usually? If a tray is servicing the candlesticks, so the candlesticks are the ikker, so that's a busis. Where the non-muksa item is servicing the muksa item, that's a busis lover aser. But here the wool is insulating the pot. So what that the wool is on top? Rashi says that's not called a busis. Because the pot is the ikker. The pot covers the ikker. So what? It looks like a buses. Don't look at physical, what's on top, what's on bottom. Look at what being mishamish what. Ask the chassam sofer, if that's true, what about our case? You have this stone on top of the barrel. So even if you put it there, what, the barrel servicing the stone to hold it up? No, the stone servicing the wine, the barrel. So what's it? That shouldn't be a buses at all. There shouldn't be any kind of buses here. So what's this talking about according to that Yesod of Rashi? The Chassam Sofer says you have to be mechalek between over there, the wool is servicing the pot cover. So that's why the pot cover is the ikker, and therefore, you know, it's not a busis. I shake it here, the stone is servicing what? Sort of servicing the wine, not the barrel. And you're moving it through the barrel. So you said it must be that's not good enough. Because it's being meshamish, though there is no cover under the stone. The stone is the cover. So if you're not going to say the stone is a kli itself, that's the chiluk. If something is servicing the pot cover, then a chinam, you can move it. But here, says the Chassam Sofer, the stone is servicing the wine. It's not servicing the any type of cover. So that's why it would be more of a problem.
There's no spout under the cover?
There's no spout. There's no spout. You have to knock off the stone in order to get to the wine. So it is the lid.
So it must be.
Because what is the second sheet to say? The second sheet that says it's nasa kisui la'achavis. So it must be there's no other kisui here. This is the kisui. This is the kisui. Okay, let's continue. Amar Rabba, so each of these opinions ask on themselves from our Mishnah. Amar Rabba, Rabba was the first opinion that said, if you're only by Shocheach, but if you put it there, it's a basis. Amar Rabba, Mosfina Nashmaitzin, I'll ask from our Mishnah. The first line, Heaven Shabakuyim, Malanba, Vein Nafels, Malanba. Right, what does the first line say? If you have the stone in the gourd to weigh it down, and if you could fill it up and it doesn't fall off, Malanba. Then you can use this, it's part of the Kli. So to here, I put the rock on the barrel, asks Rabba on himself. So why isn't that part of the Kli? Why do you say it's a buses? So Velohi, and the answer is no. The answer is because over there it's stuck in. It's permanent. Different part of the Kli. This rock, this stone, is going to fall off. So that's why it's more of a problem of buses. Rav Yosef says, the second line is kash on me. Because what does the second line of the Mishnah say? Imla, if it's loose, then the stone's going to fall out when you use this gourd for filling up. Ein mamalinba, then you're not allowed to fill up. Why not? Why isn't it like a kli? Like I said, you put the stone on, it's a cover, right? And it's also, they're both loose. But Lowi, the answer is again, no. Kasam kibin de lohatka bitule batzla. Over there, because it's not stabilized, then you never are going to consider it part of this gourd. So then when it gets loose, you're going to put it in again, you can put it in another one. Here in Echidami, you might always use this as a barrel cover. So therefore, it's going to be not a basis. It's going to be the kli. B'maikamifliki, period. So B'maikamifliki. So what's the root of this machlokas? Between, again, what's the machlokas? You put this stone on. A lot of mitzvahs going on here. You put a stone on top of a barrel, and where is that called a basis of aser, or is it called a barrel cover? So Marsav beaten in Maisu, Marsav lo beaten in Maisu. You know what the machlokas is? Machlokas must be when you have a muksum machmas gufo, very important machlokas. If you have something that's muksum machmas gufo, how much do you have to do in order to make it not muksa anymore? Is just placing it somewhere enough? Or do you have to do more than just placing it? You have to do a more of a maisa. Marsavar be'inan maisa. The first opinion that you have to say that you have to do a real bona fide maisa. You can't just put it on top of a barrel. You got to do something. You got to chisel it. You got to do something to it more to make it not muksa anymore. Well, marsavar lo be'inan maisa. The other opinion says you don't have to do a maisa. Doesn't mean you don't have to do anything. The Ritva here says you have to do a little maisa. Right? You have to put it on top of the barrel. You can't just think about it. So as long as you have to do a little maisa, and that would be enough. V'yazalot hamayu, and these opinions went according to their own reasoning. One time Rebbe was going to a place and found a pile of stones. And he wanted to get the stones ready to be able to sit on the next day. The Meiri points out it must be that he wanted to move the stones, because stones, if you don't move them, we had yesterday. Miri says you're going to sit on them if you don't move them, right? Muksa also batilto. According to Machlokas Magen Avraham Mikiv Eger, if you remember, we mentioned on Thursday. But either way, so the Miri says, let's say you're going to move these stones. He told us, Tamidim, you know what? Think about these stones to designate them so we could sit on them tomorrow. And Rebbe didn't make them do anything. That's the first opinion. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, he made them do something to the stones. So my Amar Lahu, what did he tell them? So that's the machlokas between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, which is going to be a parallel to our Rav Ami Rav Asi up above. Rav Ami Amar Tzuv Lamdum Amar Lahu. Rav Ami says he told them, go and Lamdum means like really prepare them and position them, which is a Maisa Gamor. Rav Ami was one that said up above that it's a basis if you just put the stone on. So Lishitaso, you can't just have a mice, a tiny little Maisa. You have to really position them well. Rabbi Asi Amar Tzuv Shifshifam Amar Lahu. Rav Asi says no, that Rebbe told them, no, just wipe them off to get them ready, which is a tiny little Maisa, which is Lishitaso, that if you just put the stone on top of the barrel, that's enough to make it into a Kisui. Itmar, two other versions of the story. Rav Yossi ben Shaul Amar Svar Shal Koros Have. Rav Yossi ben Shaul says it wasn't stones, it was about a stack of boards that were going to be used for building, for construction, but Rebbe decided he's going to use them to sit on the next day. Rav Yochanan ben Shaul Omer Gashush Shal Svina Have. No, it was a story about a Gashush of a Svina. What's a Gashush? We had the word Gashosh a couple of months ago on Daf Kuf, but Gashosh is it was the pole, like in the Mark Twain, it was the pole used by the boats to make sure the boat didn't go into too shallow water to get stuck. So they had a guy who was standing in the front of the boat with his big long pole, and he put it into the water to see that the boat didn't go all the way into the shallow water. So are you allowed to use this piece of wood? Rebbe wanted to prepare this piece of wood to use on Shabbos. So again, the Ritva here points out another important haro. We're not talking about a real kashosh, because that's a kli shemalachto laheter. So you don't need any preparation. So it must be a piece of wood that could have been used as a kashosh. It must be just, but it was never used. So either way, so that's, these are two other versions of the story. That Rebbe wanted to prepare stacks of boards that were going to be used for construction, or this Geshosh. So Manda Amr Geshosh called Shekain Savar. So the one who says the story was about the Geshosh, which is, could be used for a specific purpose, so surely Savar, which requires less Achana. Umanda Amr Savar, but the one who says the story was about the boards, Avol Geshosh Kapet Alei, it could be that this little act wouldn't have been good enough in order to prepare the Geshosh, because people would have been more makpid on that, and therefore that maybe that wasn't the story. Okay, I bought three more lines. Zamarshi k'shur b'tafiyach, the second of the three halachas of the Mishnah. You have this vine that's connected to the pail, so you have to fill up with it on Shabbos. So Gemara has been dying k'shur in lo k'shur lo. Right, so it sounds like only if the vine is tied on is it allowed? Because what does the Mishnah say? Shehi kashur b'tafiyach. So only if it's tied on is it allowed. Lo kashur lo. But if it wouldn't be tied on, if the vine wouldn't be tied on, you can't take the vine and tie it on and use it for the pail. So lema masisa de lo karash bag. Let's say this Mishnah is against Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Tanya, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, we had this a couple months ago. Chariyos shodekel shegirin la'itzim and imlachalim li'yeshiva. Let's say you have a bunch of branches that you gathered for firewood, but all of a sudden you decided you want to put them into a bundle and sit on them. You want to sit on them. So what do you have to do in order to make them mucha? In order to take their muksa status away from them. So Tzarech Likshar, the Tanakhama says, you have to do a maisa, you have to tie them up. If you tie them up, then that's Megali or Dasa, you're going to use them as a chair. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Omar ain't Tzarech Likshar. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, you don't have to tie them up, you don't have to do anything. What? Before Shabbos. So the Gemara says, maybe, so it seems like our Mishnah is against Rashbag, because Rashbag there requires, does not require Kshira, and our Mishnah requires Kshira. So we're comparing tying up a bundle of branches to tying a vine to a pail. That's what we're comparing. So Gemara says, no, Amr, if Sheish is a filo tamer ashbag, even Rav Shimon Gamliel might agree to our Mishnah. Why? Here you require more because it's still mechubar to the original source of the vine. So the Gemara says, one second. Ihachi, the vine is still attached to the ground, and we're talking about whether you have to tie it on or not. Mishtamish mechubar lakarka. So you're using something that's connected to the ground. We know there's an Isser Durabanan to use anything that's mechubal karka. Is a drabanan of which malacha? Kotzer. Very good. Kotzer. You're not allowed to, right? Because the original reason was, we're gozer that's climbing a tree, or the ball gets caught in a tree. You're not allowed to get it. A tree is muksa. You're not allowed to hang your jacket on a tree. You're not allowed to take your jacket off a tree. Right? If it's seedy, that's okay. A couple steps removed. You have a hammock on a nail, on a hook, in a tree, you know, so then you can hang on the hammock. But you can't directly use it. So here too, if it's connected to the ground, so how could you use this vine anyway, even if it's tied on? So Gemara says, no, lamata mi gimel is less than three tefachim, and that's what we pass, by the way. Let's say you have a stump of a tree that's less than three tefachim tall, you could sit on that stump to tie your shoe. If it's more than three tefachim tall, then you can't, because that's called mishtamish b'mechubar, mishtamish b'ilan, which is an issa d'rabbanan on Shabbos. So that's the answer. Yes, it's connected, but it's less than three, it's the whole vine is like on the ground, going on the ground, so it's less than three tefachim, so there's no issa d'rabbanan, and therefore you could use it. Obviously, you're not tying something in a way that's the kesher is shel chayama. Ravashi Yama, no. I feel the name of Betlusha. Ravashi says, no, don't compare the cases. Even a tallish one, it's still not against Rashbag. Gezei Rashem Yiktom. By the case of the branches, why does Rav Shimon Gamliel say you don't need, why does Rav Shimon Gamliel say that you don't have to tie it? Because there's no gzeira shayach there. You're going to sit on it. But here, we're worried that if it's not tied on beforehand, and you're going to have to tie it, you're going to have to cut it and make it a good, proper length, right? The Rashi here says, you make it into a perfect kli, you're going to be over makom patish. Other Rishonim say, maybe it's machatik, you're going to cut it to a specific size that you need. But there's a different case, difference between tying a vine to the pail and tying up branches in order to sit on. So don't compare the two cases. Okay, so that's why even Rav Shimon Gamliel would agree in our Mishnah. Two approaches to that. Okay, I got to run to a bris now, so we'll stop here. Pekaka chalon, Bezrem, we'll continue tomorrow morning, 7:10. 7:10, Beth Hashem is the daf. Okay, was it sponsored? I don't know. No, you have to do it the right way. Hammock has to be.